Let us pray. Holy God, this is the time when we quiet our hearts and our minds to pay attention, to really pay attention to what it is that you have to say to us today. Fill us with your word and give us understanding by your Holy Spirit, that having heard your word, we may live lives worthy of you and pleasing to you in every way. Use me, O Lord, as your vessel to proclaim your word this day as you would have it. Amen. What parable made a man with three doctoral degrees, one in medicine, one in theology, and one in philosophy, leave civilization with all of its culture and amenities and instead move to the darkest parts of Africa? What parable could induce a man who was recognized as one of the most gifted organists in all of Europe to go to a place where there wasn't even a single organ to be played? And what parable would so intensely motivate a man that he would give up a teaching position in Vienna, Austria, in order to travel to Africa and be among people who were so deprived that they still lived with superstitions of the Dark Ages? This man that I'm speaking about, as I'm sure many of you will recognize, was Dr. Albert Schweitzer. We often don't think of him as having so much education or being so talented, but he left all of that and went to Africa, where he felt he could serve God the best. This parable changed his life because he took it to heart. This little story of the rich man and Lazarus. They were neighbors, you know. They saw each other every day. Yes, it is true that the rich man was just walking in and out of his door because Lazarus was laying on the ground beside the doorway. Lazarus was poor. He was crippled. He could hardly walk at all. Would pull himself along the ground. And the rich man saw him at his gate every day, but they never met, even though they were neighbors. They never spoke to each other, even though they were neighbors. The contrasting lifestyles of these two men was so obvious that you really can't miss it. The rich man was a connoisseur, a lover of the arts, a man who enjoyed fine cuisine, fine living. And then poor Lazarus sat on the ground. The rich man, we are told, dressed in purple, the color that was so precious that only royalty and the elite could afford it. And he is dressed in what was the best of the day, fine linens. Again, only the wealthy could afford such a thing. The other man in the story is named Lazarus, not to be confused with the Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead. We're told in verse 20 that he was a cripple. He barely made it from day to day, living off of what was given him, not what he grew or what he earned, but what was given to him by those who walked by, including the rich man going in and out of his home every day. Jesus tells us that one day both of these men died. Death is supposed to be the great equalizer. And it doesn't care about your social standing or your wealth or your color or your lack thereof or your education or lack of that. doesn't care what your standing is in the community, how many friends you have, how many people admire you or admire your wealth. They both were carried away by death. And the angel of death came and took Lazarus to heaven, where he sat next to Abraham in the seat of honor. The rich man, however, all that Jesus says about him is that he died. That's it. He died. Doesn't say what happened to him at that point, but we can think that his funeral, being one of the wealthiest in town, if not the wealthiest, must have been something spectacular. I'm sure people said at that funeral what many of us will say in future years about the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II. I saw that. Now, granted, we saw it on television, but I'm sure people in that little village said the same thing about the funeral of the rich man. I saw that. I was there for that. Jesus did add one additional fact about the death of the rich man, and that is, he went to hell. Literally. I'm not just saying that as a cliche. He literally went to hell. He went to Hades. This is an unnerving story, probably, at least for me, one of the most unnerving stories that Jesus tells, and it certainly was for Albert Schweitzer. It turned his life upside down. It made him, it led to him making a drastic change in his life. It was bothersome. Why? Let's explore some of those possible reasons. First, I think it shows how God totally reverses the standards of the world. Reverses them. We call this the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Notice, the rich man is never named. He doesn't have a name. Whereas with us, it is the poor that are never named. We know the Warren Buffetts of our world and the Sam Waltons and the Bill Gates. We know their names, even if we don't know them. But in this parable, it's the rich man who is not given a name. We refer to the poor in our world as them, the other, the homeless, the third world, the welfare cases. They are the neighbors that we never met. And if I had a title for this sermon, that would be it. The neighbors we never met. As many of you have noticed by the way I talk, and some of you by conversation, you know I was raised in the South. And in the South, if you were black and you worked for a domestic for a white family, you were known only by your first name. You were Gussie, or you were Willie Mae, and if you were a yard man, you were James or Jackson. Nobody ever knew your last name. You were just known by your first name. And that is the standard of our world. We still have many places in this country where there are potter's fields, where people are buried at no cost to them. Now, one of the rules for every potter's field that I've ever known about is that there are no gravestones. There are no names anywhere in the cemetery. There are just numbers. And if you want to find out where somebody is buried, you have to go find somebody who has a list and look for the name and look for the number and then go out and try and find that number. There are no names. These are the nameless masses. In heaven, my friends, this parable tells us that everything will be reversed. It will all be just the opposite. God will know the name of every poor, suffering person that comes to heaven. There's a special place in his heart for the poor and for those who have suffered and gone without. I hope he knows my name when I get there, but I know he will know the names of those who have suffered, those who have been nameless in this life. That's what Jesus is suggesting. What Jesus is suggesting is that those we now call poor will be wealthy in heaven. In heaven, everything will be reversed, topsy-turvy. And I think that might have been one thing that troubled Albert Schweitzer. And I think another thing that could have been troubling to him is that the rich man, we're not told, but he doesn't seem to be a mean man. We don't read that he kicked Lazarus on his way out or coming in. We don't read that he laughed at him. We don't read that he mistreated him. There's nothing that tells us he was mean or bad. He never chased him away. So what was it that was so horrible about him that instead of sitting at the side of Abraham, he went to hell? What was it? I think it was that he acted as though that's the way life was supposed to be. He was rich. He deserved to have purple jackets and linen clothes. And he could afford to drop some food down on the ground to Lazarus. He had plenty, and that's the way it was supposed to be. He never questioned the accident of his birth or that of Lazarus. He never questioned that maybe the roles might have been reversed at a different time. They were neighbors, but they never met. And that was okay with him. It was supposed to be that way because God ordained it. Don't you know? God ordained that I be rich, and this poor man not. Some years ago, before the death of Mother Teresa, there was a special aired on TV, and like all television shows then and now, you have a bit of a program and then you have a commercial. Then you have a bit of a program and then you have a commercial. And just when things are getting really interesting in the program, you have a commercial. Well, in this particular special, let me give you an idea of the sequence of the topics and the commercials. Topic. Lepers. They're talking about lepers in the show as Mother Teresa is making her way through the streets of Calcutta, tending to people. And what's the commercial? The commercial comes on, bikinis for sale. Then they're showing all of the starvation there in the streets of Calcutta. And what's the next commercial? Designer jeans. And then we see poverty at the most raw. And what's the commercial? Has to be something the poor always want. Fur coats. Do you see the dichotomy here? Abandoned babies in the show with Mother Teresa, and then a commercial about ice cream sundaes. Just flip side, grotesque almost, to sit there and watch this. Then there's a part about all of these people that are dying. And the next commercial, by golly, it's for diamond watches. So you can keep track of the time you have left, I guess. The irony was so apparent. Two totally different worlds. Totally different. The world of the poor and the world of the affluent. And it seems that our culture here in the United States and every other place in the world that has a lot of commercialization is teaching us to live as the rich man in this parable. To wear the purple clothes and the fine linens, and to walk by the poor on the street, the crippled, the homeless, the hungry. Just leave them a little food and walk on by. We are occasionally presented with the images of the poor in our lives. We see people along the street holding signs, "We'll work for food." But we've gotten so immune to seeing and reading that that we just drive on by. We don't think about what it really might mean. It's okay for us to live in luxury. Now, we may not think we're living in luxury. I mean, you and I have to work. It's not like we have a great big bundle at home to just reach in and grab dollars and dollars and dollars. We have to work. We have to earn a living. That doesn't make me feel exceptionally wealthy. But we are wealthier than what percentage of the world? 90%? Probably 95 closer. I don't know the exact percentage, but we're up there, folks, no matter how much we have to work. It's not okay to live our lives in luxury while others suffer. That's one of the lessons, I think, in this parable. And I think that's one thing that helped make Albert Schweitzer a little bit uneasy. You know, one of the great things about having children is that we get to watch cartoons. Well, I never stopped, even though my baby's in his 40s. I still watch cartoons. Just last week, Larry commented that he had walked in and seen me watching a cartoon on TV, and I was. Cartoons can be funny. One of my favorites are cartoons of Garfield. Garfield is the cat. Odie is the dog. And one of the cartoons I saw was Garfield in the house, and it's nice and warm, and it's snowing outside, and he looks out the window, and there's Odie out in the cold, staring at the window, just shivering. And Garfield says, "Oh my goodness, I can't stand to see that. I just can't stand to see it." So he walks over to the window and shuts the curtains. That's his solution. How often do we just shut the curtains? That's our solution sometimes too. Put it on the back burner. I don't want to look at it, so I'm going to shut my eyes. If I can't shut the curtains, I'm going to shut my eyes. That's what we do sometimes. Another reason that I think Albert Schweitzer was a little uncomfortable is we are like the rich man. That's the way our churches are these days. The poor and the disenfranchised, however, are God's special people. And they dare not simply become part of the landscape around us that we want to make them so often. And third, I think that the fact that we are told that the rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus back to earth to warn his brothers, and Lazarus refuses. Abraham refuses to send Lazarus back. He says if they haven't listened to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to listen to somebody. that comes back from the dead. Found a little irony in that, since Jesus came back from the dead, and we surely do listen to him, but that's not what we're talking about here. There's a chasm between where they are in this world and where people are in heaven. And what makes that chasm, I think, is attitude. Attitude, the fact that we don't embrace the people around us that perhaps need embracing more than any of us do, because they don't get embraced very often. Most of the time, "Ooh, you smell funny," and we turn our backs and walk away. The rich man closed his eyes to the world around him. He closed his eyes to the hurting around him. And I think Albert Schweitzer, with his degrees and his talent, maybe felt a little bit uncomfortable. And maybe we are feeling a little bit uncomfortable. I know I do, thinking of this. He created his own hell on earth, I think, by closing his eyes to the world around him. And I remember last week we talked about the generosity of God. I think that might be part of the definition of hell, that we just ignore the generosity of God, and we close our eyes to the fact that God may love those who are hurting and have a special place in his heart for them, rather than for those of us who are fairly comfortable in life. I think the point of this story is that the rich man was insensitive to the needs of the suffering. Now, what about the poor, the hungry, homeless people at our gates? What do we do? What will happen to him or to her? According to our text, they will be found in heaven. You and I may not be, if we take them for granted and walk right by. I think that's what sent Albert Schweitzer away from a teaching position in Austria to the jungles of Africa. My prayer this day is that you and I make the neighbors that we have not yet met become the neighbors that we know, and maybe even love and put an arm around. May it be so. Amen.